book of Acts, chapter 12, very familiar passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 12. We've preached from this several times. We've looked at all the miracles that took place in these verses. We've considered the subject of salvation, and what we see here is a beautiful picture of salvation. Also, lessons to be learned in prayer. But Acts chapter 12, we'll read verses 1 through 11. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, that is Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And the chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. What is recorded here, of course, is the imprisonment of Peter and his miraculous deliverance. The text opens with the statement that Herod the king stretched forth his hands, that is, with purpose and intent to vex, that is, to torment, to trouble, to cause distress, to exasperate, to injure certain. He had certain individuals in mind, certain of the church. Here we see the fury and the zeal of the enemy against the church of Lord Jesus Christ. The result of this is in verse 4. It says that Peter was apprehended. That is, he was arrested. He was captured. He was seized. He was taken into custody by the enemy. And then it says, and put in prison. So Peter has been arrested or captured. Peter is locked up. And then it says, and delivered to four quaternions of soldiers, 16 soldiers, to keep or to guard him. We read in verse 5, Peter therefore was kept in prison. Kept in prison. And in verse 6, we see that it was night, And we also see that he was between two soldiers, bound, shackled, restrained, the two soldiers with two chains. And we're also told there that there were keepers before the door. That is, there were soldiers stationed at the door. And we see that these kept, they were keepers before the door. That is, they guarded the door. Then we're told in verse 10, we read of the first and second ward, referring to soldiers that were placed at various intervals throughout that prison. And then we're told of an iron gate. So Herod, the enemy, went to great lengths to make sure that Peter stayed in that prison. Herod wanted to be sure that Peter would not get loose. Why? Because it was his intent to destroy Peter, to kill Peter. So there's Peter. He's incarcerated. He's detained. He's restrained. He's in lockdown. In this message, we want to broaden the perspective of Peter's imprisonment and speak upon the subject of spiritual lockdown. Again, there are many things in this passage of Scripture. We're just concentrating on one aspect. But we must realize that we too have an enemy. And he seeks to arrest us. He seeks to put us in prison. He seeks to bind us in that prison, to do everything he can to keep us in that prison, to keep us in the darkness of that prison. And he goes to great lengths to guard the prison. His ultimate desire being to destroy us. To destroy us. We want to notice, first of all, the imprisonments of God's people. And then we want to notice that there is release from these prisons. First of all, consider the imprisonments of God's people. All through the Scriptures, we see God's people in similar circumstance to that of Peter in Acts chapter 12. We see them in terrible, terrible places of confinement. Literal places, physical places of imprisonment. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll refer to several verses. We're not going to turn there. You can if you'd like. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4, in verse 20, speaking of Israel's release from Egyptian bondage, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace." The iron furnace, even out of Egypt. That iron furnace speaks of a prison. In Psalm 105 and verse 18, in reference to Joseph, we read, "Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron." In Judges chapter 16 and verse 21, referring to Samson, we read, "But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, And he did grind, went round and round, circles in the prison house. In 2 Kings 25 and verse 7, referring to Zedekiah, we read that they bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. In 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 11, referring to Manasseh, we read they bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. In Psalm 107 and verse 10, we read of those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. And in Psalm 107 and verse 16, referring to the Lord's deliverance of such, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. In Psalm 137, in verse 3, referring to Judah in Babylonian captivity, we read that they carried us away captive. And in Jeremiah 13 and 17, we read the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Again, referring to Babylonian captivity. In Genesis, or in Jeremiah 37 in verse 15, referring to Jeremiah, we read that they smote him and put him in prison. And in Jeremiah 38 and verse 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Jeremiah 40 and verse 1. Jeremiah is said to have been bound in chains. And in Lamentations 3 and verse 53, again, referring to Jeremiah, they have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Mark chapter 6 and verse 17, in reference to John the Baptist, for Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison. In Acts 16, verse 24, in reference to Paul and Silas, it says that they thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. In Acts 21, in verse 33, in reference to Paul, they bound with two chains. In Acts 22:25, again, with reference to Paul, bound him with thongs or leather straps. And in Acts 28 and verse 20, Paul said, I am bound with this chain. Each one of these references speak of God's people in places of physical imprisonment. In places of physical confinement. Speaks of God's people in physical lockdown. And in each one of these references, we have painted for us a picture of the terrible and the dreadful restraining conditions of those prisons. We see a picture is painted of the power of these prisons. The affliction, the pain, the sorrow, and the devastation of these prisons. But as unfavorable and adverse as these prisons were, there are spiritual imprisonments, spiritual chains, spiritual dungeons that are far, far more devastating for the child of God than any of these physical places of imprisonment. Consider some spiritual dungeons that God's people have been carried away into. We read several times in the Old Testament concerning Babylonian captivity and carried away into Babylon. Carried away. All the things that carry away the child of God. Carry him away into imprisonments far worse than Babylon. These spiritual dungeons are more extensive than all the physical places of imprisonment. There are spiritual pits that are far more desolate than any physical place of imprisonment. Spiritual pits that are far more gloomy than any physical place of imprisonment. Far more miserable than these physical places of imprisonment. There are spiritual confinements that are darker than any physical place of imprisonment. Far more impoverishing, far more demoralizing than physical places of imprisonment. There may come a day, we're not far from it, when God's people with convictions will be imprisoned. But that's not what ought to concern us today. There are those living in prisons today, God's people, far worse than any prison they might throw us in the future. Spiritual dungeons. And many have lived in these places for years. There are spiritual entanglements that are far more inescapable than any physical place of imprisonment. There are spiritual prisons more guarded than physical places of imprisonment. Once you're cast into one of these spiritual prisons, Satan makes sure that he places his guards throughout that prison. He wants to keep you there to destroy you. To destroy you. And just when you think you've broken loose, you go a little ways and there it is. There's that guard. Back you go. Terrible places. There are spiritual chains that are heavier than the chains that Peter was bound with. There are spiritual chains that are tighter and more painful than the chains that Peter was bound with. There are chains, spiritual chains, that are far more restrictive than the chains that Peter found himself bound with. Peter was chained to two soldiers, the two guards. And many today are chained to the guards of the enemy. They're chained to them. There are spiritual captivities. There are spiritual enclosures that have iron gates more solid, more unyielding, more indestructible than the iron gates of these physical places of imprisonment. We have an enemy far more powerful, far more influential than Herod the king. An enemy far more hateful, far more malicious, far more fierce and zealous than Herod the king. And this world is a place of innumerable pitfalls a place of traps, a place of snags, and our enemy seeks to apprehend us and chain us in one of his prisons. Just as King Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John. And then he laid his eyes on Peter. And he arrested Peter and cast him into prison. This world is filled with a variety of diversions, interruptions, interferences, and hindrances. And all of these are designed to imprison us. Our enemy seeks to allure, intrigue, and preoccupy the child of God with the things that the world is focused upon, with the things that the world places value in, with the things that the world is loyal to, with the aspirations of the world, with the pursuits of the world. And the reason he desires to intrigue us with these things is to chain us in the darkness of one of his prisons. And he's laid hold of many. There are many of God's people chained in these prisons. Every week, we preach to folks that are in prison, spiritual prisons, prisons far worse than any physical place of confinement. These prisons, they're dark, they're dingy, they're miserable places. Places of desolation. Places of torture. Places of defeat and deprivation. Consider some of these prisons today. Some may be in these prisons. One of the greatest prisons that there is. The most miserable of prisons is the prison of self. The prison of self. The cell of self-will. The cell of self-sufficiency. The cell of self-interest. The cell of self-gratification. And self-seeking, the cell of self-righteousness. There are the prisons of self. There is the prison of pride. Pride has imprisoned many. Many are chained in the prison of pride. Many do not get right with God simply out of pride. They're in a prison. What a horrible, horrible place. There is the prison of worldliness. That's a prison. You begin to think like the world, that's a prison. You take on the philosophies of the world and the pursuits of the world, that's a prison. There are many in the prison of worldliness. There are many in the prison of circumstances and life situations. Things happen. Things happen that we would not choose. Things happen that we may not like. You better be careful. That can become a prison. A prison of circumstances. Prison of problems. You wake up every morning and there it is, that prison wall. The problem smacks you right in the face. And it's everywhere you go. That's a prison. Many live in the prison of circumstances, the prison of personal problems. There is the prison of hypocrisy. What will people think? How do I look? Got to put on a good show. That's a prison. That'll wear you out. Prison of mere religion. A very tiresome place. Very tiresome place. There is the prison of self-deception. There is a prison of depression. Discouragement. All kinds of prisons. We certainly can't mention them all today. There are prisons unknown to us today. We'll know it when we get in one, though. There's a prison of jealousy. Prison of backbiting. Prison of anger. Anger will kill you. It's a horrible place. It's a horrible prison. There's a prison of malice. Prison of bitterness. These are prisons. These are places of great desolation. You're not going to prosper in these prisons. There are the prisons of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness toward others. Unforgiveness of ourself. Prisons. Prisons. Far worse than any physical place of imprisonment. I can't imagine the feeling. You get sentenced to prison, a physical prison. Imagine arriving and you walk down that hall and you and the gate, the bars shut behind you. I can't imagine that feeling. The sound of that gate closing. But you know, many, they walk into spiritual prisons. And if you just stop and listen, you'll hear the sound of that iron gate closing. What a horrible place. Why would anyone voluntarily go and become a prisoner in a spiritual prison? Yet, most of our spiritual prisons, we imprison ourselves. We imprison ourselves. And we may get free, but it's like we've lived there so long, it's like some habitual criminals. They got to go back. I mean, they just can't function out here. They got to go back. There's God's people like that. They get out a while, but they just can't stand it. I got to go back to that prison. Because that's what I'm used to. Whatever their prison is. Whatever it is. And that's why Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 1, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now he's referring to the bondage before salvation, but the application is to all bondages. So there are many of God's people. They've been arrested. To be arrested ought to cause great fear. I remember, I think I was about 8 years old, We were playing football, a bunch of us, there were probably 10 or 12, 15 of us, playing football in a lot of an empty house. Someone kicked the ball and went through the window. He thought, man, that's pretty cool, that ball going through the window. Next kid picks up a rock, throws it through a window. Pretty soon, all of us throwing rocks so that we broke every window in that house. Here come the police. Whew. Put us all in police cars. You boys are going to jail. Oh, no, no, no. We are crying, scared to death. Back then, parents got together and agreed for the whole summer we would wash police cars and toilets and police floors with toothbrushes every Saturday. That wouldn't happen today because poor little Johnny's being mistreated. We thought we were being arrested. We're fearful. It ought to cause fear if you're arrested. And if the enemy, whatever it is, lays hold of you, arrests you, that ought to cause great fear, because you know where you're going. You're going to jail. And you may spend a while there. When anger arrests you, when bitterness arrests you, when unforgiveness arrests you, when the circumstances of life lays hold of you and says, boy, you're going to jail, that ought to cause great fear. In our lives, there are many of God's people. They've been arrested. And there they sit in the seclusion of the prison walls. They're bound. They're shackled. They're held secure by chains in these prisons. This is where they live. There are some, when you're asked to give your address, you need to be honest. I don't really have one. I live in a prison. I've lived there for years. There are those that cannot see beyond the dingy walls of their prison cell. And the walls of that prison, as you sit there, at times seem to close in, leaving the prisoner with a feeling of suffocation and filling them with great anxiety. And there they sit, chained in their cell. Their thoughts, their vision, their lives are defined by their prison cell. This is where many live. This is where they live. You see them there. They're chained in the drudgery, chained in the travail of the prison cell. You may get out for a little while, but they're really not free. They drag their ball and chain into the house of God and then drag it out with them again. We all have some chains. We all do. Some chains that hold us down spiritually. There are those that are chained to this world. They can't break free. These chains hold us down spiritually. And these chains do not simply inflict physical harm. They inflict damage to our souls. These chains interfere with our lives. They disrupt our lives. They're always getting in the way. There you are, dragging this chain. Every now and then you'll try to pick it up so you can move. But these chains are always getting in the way. Someone comes along and says, brother or sister, you need a closer relationship with God. And you say, yes, I do, but there's this chain. And it's always getting in the way of a closer relationship with the Lord. Brother, you need to ascend spiritually. Yes, I know. But I've got this chain, and it's always getting in the way of me ascending to greater heights spiritually. It's always getting in the way, keeping me from living on a higher plane spiritually. You see, these chains keep us from the abundant spiritual life. How miserable. I mean, how miserable must it be to sit in a physical prison and someone tell you how wonderful it is outside of that prison, the wonderful liberty that's outside of that prison, and all you can see is walls, and all you can see is bars, and you can't get out. How miserable! And how miserable is it spiritually? You sit in a prison cell, and you hear about the abundant spiritual life. And you hear about a relationship with God. But there you sit in their prison cell. How miserable. And that describes the life of many. These chains keep us from enjoying God. These chains, they will grip and squeeze our hearts. They will grip and squeeze our minds and our wills, resulting in lives of defeat, resulting in lives of turmoil and waste. Oh, what a waste to spend your life in a prison. How often you see a young man or a young woman, and they're going off to prison, and they've been sentenced to life. What a waste! What a waste! What a loss! And yet, it does not compare to the waste that takes place in a spiritual prison. What a waste. What a weariness. What frustration to be locked in a cell. What discouragement. You know, today we can preach. People say all the time, people say often, well, you know, I just wish people preach encouragement, do this, that, whatever. You know what? You could preach the most encouraging message that man has ever heard. If you're sitting in a prison, it's going to discourage you. It's going to discourage you. Oh man, that was discouraging. That's because of where you live. You live in a discouraging place. And the fact is, when somebody comes and tells you how wonderful it could be, and all you see is a prison, guess what? That's miserable. Spiritual prisons are places lead to lives of disorder. Lead to lives of confusion. Restlessness, hopelessness, joylessness. Oh, how awful. How degrading the chains of spiritual prisons. But there is release. There is release. In our text, Peter has been arrested. He's deep in the prison. He's kept where the worst of criminals are kept. Chained to two guards. Watched by several others. Locked behind doors of iron. How does one escape? How does one escape? Well, You can spend years trying to pick the lock of those chains. You can spend years trying to squirm your way out of those chains. But you know what? They just get tighter and tighter. Tighter and tighter. And let's say you were able to pick the lock. Let's say that you were able somehow to squirm your way out of those chains. How are you going to get out of the prison cell? You're still in the cell. Suppose you are able to pick the lock of those chains. Suppose you were able to squirm your way out. And suppose you were able to get out of the prison cell. How would you get past the guards that are down the hall? And even if you were able to get past the guards, eventually you come to that iron gate. How are you going to get through that? So there's Peter. He's in lockdown. And sometimes we find ourselves chained in prison, in spiritual lockdown. And we want sympathy. And we want pity. But what we need is what we read in verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And the chains fell from off his hands. Notice, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. God showed up in that prison cell. The one greater than the enemy. The one who had authority. The one who could overthrow all the plans and all the intentions of the enemy. The one who had access to. And the one who is more exhaustive than the prison. The one who is stronger than the chains. Stronger than the guards. Stronger than the prison has come to that prison. And he has an effect upon the prisoner. Oh, for God to come to some prison cells today. Notice what it says. And he smote Peter on the side. There was heavenly contact with Peter. Oh, that God would come to some prison cells today and nudge some prisoners. And notice it says he smote him. That's not just, "Wake up, Peter." Smote him. "Wake up!" And he woke him up by speaking. "Arise up quickly." The Lord came to that prison cell and spoke directly to Peter, and those guards he was chained to didn't know a thing about it. Spoke directly to Peter. In that prison there was a message from God. "Arise up quickly." The Lord did a work upon Peter. He was awakened. He was raised up by the touch and the voice of God. And notice what else. And his chains fell off from his hands. Doesn't say the Lord broke the chains. He may have. That's not what it says. The chains just fell off. And oh, how desperately we need some chains to fall off. Now, those guards never heard those chains hit the floor of that prison cell. But wouldn't it be wonderful today to hear the sounds of the chains of self and pride falling off? To hear the sound of the chains of worldliness and hypocrisy and mere religion falling off? To hear the sound of the chains of self-deception falling off? To hear the sound of the chains of depression falling off? To hear the sound of the chains of jealousy falling off? What was that sound? That was my chain falling off. Oh, how glorious. To hear the sound of the chain of anger and malice and bitterness and unforgiveness falling off. How wonderful. The chains fell off. Oh, how we ought to long for such. Oh, how we ought to pray for such. Notice Peter was awakened. He was raised. He was released from those chains. And then, after that, not before that, but after that, there was more instruction for Peter. Verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself. Well, he couldn't do that. Chained to two soldiers. He couldn't do that asleep. The Lord had to do a work in him, and then comes this instruction. Gird thyself. In other words, Peter, get ready. We're leaving this place. And oh, that God's people, that the chains would fall off, and that they would hear the voice of God. My brother, my sister, get ready. We're leaving this place. Said, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He didn't do that until he was awakened, until he was raised, and until the chains fell off. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. The message is this to Peter in that prison. The angel of the Lord comes, smites Peter, speaks, arise up quickly. The chains fall off. And then the Lord gives further instruction. He is saying, Peter, get ready. You follow me, follow me, follow me. That is the way out of the prison. You go ahead and make your phone calls. And you go ahead and take an opinion poll, and these folks will put you further and further and further into the prison. They're not interested in getting you out of the prison. They're in a prison themselves, and they want company. Keep listening to them. Keep listening to them. And you'll live the rest of your life there. If you hear the Lord, He's saying, follow me. That's the way out of the prison. Well, I want to do it my way. You'll stay in the prison. Those chains will just get tighter and tighter. Once the chains fall off, he says, follow me. Notice, there's Peter and this heavenly visitor walking courageously and victoriously past the enemy's guards. They went past, and when they were past the first and second ward. You notice the Lord, the messenger of God, did not come to that prison and say, now Peter, your chains are off. Down the hall here, there are some guards. And Peter, this is what we're going to do. Listen to me close. This is what we're going to do. He didn't say that. He didn't say a word about the guards. He said, Peter, follow me. There's the answer. You want to get past Satan's guards? You don't have to plan. You don't have to scheme. Follow me! He followed. And when they were past the first and the second ward. And you notice also that the messenger of God didn't come to that prison cell and say, now Peter, after we get past the guards, there's an iron gate down there. And here's what we're going to do. Didn't say a word about that iron gate. He said, Peter, your responsibility is this. You follow me. And when they came to the iron gate, it opened to them of its own accord. Follow him. And there's many an iron gate that'll open before you. What a way to live. What a way to live. There's Peter walking down the halls of that prison. The chains are gone. Following the Lord. Past the enemy's guards. You and I, if we're following him, we can walk right through the enemy's guard. Well, we need to have a meeting. Go ahead and have your meeting. Save a lot of time. Just follow him. Just follow him. Well, we need to get a committee together to figure out how to open this gate. You go ahead and form your committee. But you'd be better off just following the Lord. And the gate will open. The gate will open. And then we read two words in verse 10. And they went out. They left the prison. And I don't think Peter stopped and turned around and said, oh, I'm going to miss this place. Oh, I'm going to miss this place. I don't think so. That's the way many of God's people act. I've lived in anger so long. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm going to miss this anger. I'm going to miss this bitterness. They went out. And they went out victorious. It says, Peter came to himself. And he knew of a surety that the Lord had delivered him. And there are many of God's people today chained to Satan's guards. We pray that the Lord would come to your prison cell in such a mighty way that he would smite you, speak to you. A light would shine in that prison cell. Your chains would fall to the ground. And then once your chains have fallen to the ground, listen. Listen to what he says. He says, get ready. We're going to leave this place. But you got to follow me. That's all you have to do. You follow me. Well, Lord, can't I help you somehow to get past those guards? Can't I help you somehow to pick the lock of that iron gate? You just follow me. And he walked past the guards. The gate opened. And whatever your prison cell is today, you can walk out unshackled with him, with the Lord. And glory to God, what a life! I'm free! I'm free! And you know what? I never want to go back to that prison cell. I don't want to go back there. And now every time anger comes and bitterness comes and malice and problems and circumstances and whatever else and try to lay hold of us, say, no, 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 I'm not going back there. And Peter went. That day he was set free. And Peter knew that they were making prayer for him in house. And guess where he headed? He wanted to be with God's people. When you do not want to be with God's people, mark it down. You're in a prison cell. You're imprisoned. Folks, there are things far worse than being physically arrested and thrown in prison. There are spiritual prisons. We've all lived in them. We've all been there. Sometime, maybe just for a few hours. Sometimes it may be a few days. Sometimes the days may turn into weeks. And the weeks turn into months. Pretty soon, that's all you see is that prison cell. And now your whole life, every thought you think, every view you have is related to that cell. What a horrible place. What a horrible place to live. Then, of course, we'll close. There's the lost sinner. They're in a prison cell. They're in a prison cell they can't get out of. They can squirm all they want to. It will not get them out of their prison cell. Someone will come along and give them a key. Says, here's the good works key. It won't unlock those chains. Here's the key of baptism. That won't unlock the chains. Here's the key of religion. Here's the key of church. And on you can go. You can try all those keys. None of them will work. None of them will work. The preacher can preach and you can squirm all you want to. And you know what? The chains just get tighter and tighter. Squirming isn't going to loosen those chains. What it's going to take, and what a glorious day it was when the Lord came to our prison cell. Amen. Imparted life. Woke us up. Spoke to us. Arise. Amen. The chains fell off. He said, follow me. And out we went. What a day. Amen. Why in the world would I want to go back there? Amen. Why? Well, I just want to go back and visit some friends. Why? Why would you want to go back? I don't even want to get on the same block. Why do you want to go back? If you're here and lost today, you're in a cell. You're in a horrible prison. But there is one, and only one, who can rescue you from that prison. And His name is Jesus. And He is the chain breaker. And He can open that iron gate. And He will. Trust Him today. If you're here and saved and living in a prison, cry out to God today. Oh God, please. Get me out of this prison. Get me out of this prison. He can set you free. And He will. Follow Him. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Thank you.